Of worship, the essentials of worship, as we seek to unpack what we do as believers when God doesn't show up. What we do as believers when God doesn't show up. You know, as Christians, I often believe that we want God to fulfill a certain agenda that we have. We want God to do what we want God to do when we want God to do it. And if God does not do what we want God to do when God does it, or when we want God to do it, then we often come to a point on our Christian journey where we begin to doubt God. When God doesn't show up when we want God to show up. When God does not, as we see, fulfill God's primary responsibility, which is to fulfill our every need when we want our need fulfilled, many times we get to a point where we doubt God. And we begin to doubt God's ability to do things for us. And we also begin to doubt God's ability to fulfill who God is in our lives. And you see, when we want God to show up, when we want God to show up, what that says is that we have a schedule that we expect God to tend to. Lord, if I'm going through this situation right here, I need you to show up at this particular time so that I won't worry, that I won't fret too much, and that when my need needs to be met, boom, you're there to meet it. Or Lord, you know, I've had this test that I haven't studied for, and now I'm in front of the professor. I'm in the room. I can't use my open books, can't use my notes, can't use my computer, can't Google anything. And now I am in a position where I need you to show up, but because I haven't studied, I fail. And so because I failed, God, you have failed me in some kind of way, shape, form, or fashion. Because you haven't shown up like I need you and when I need you to show up. Lord, my loved one is ill now. And I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. And I need you, God, to show up right now. But Lord, they died. And they're no longer here with us. And God, because you did not show up when I needed you to show up, you no longer have the ability to show up in my life. Therefore, I won't worship you. Because you don't have the ability to show up when I need you to show up on this particular time of the scheduled event that has occurred. And so friends, what do we do in those moments when God just does not show up when we feel God to show up? What do we do when we pray and we fast and we seek God and we believe God for certain things and God just does not show up in that moment? What do we do when God doesn't do what we want God to do, when we want God to do it? Friends, this is a very pertinent question, and David, I believe in 2 Samuel chapter 11 and 12, gives us a great example of this. The Bible tells us in 2 Samuel chapter 11 that it was time for the kings to go to war. The Bible says that David decided not to go to war. And the whole Israelite army had left for war and David stayed at home. First of all, big mistake by David because he stayed at the house. And so as the army is going to fight the Ammonites and the people at Reba, the Bible tells us that David is on the rooftop of his palace and that he's walking around and that he is looking for things. In essence, David is really bored right now. David is bored. David is walking around the roof of his palace because he has not fulfilled his obligation as king to go to war. And so we see that as David is walking around his palace on the top of the roof, he looks down and he sees a fine young lady by the name of Bathsheba. The Bible tells us that she was taking a shower. So he sees her in a position to where he begins to lust, and he sees this beautiful woman. And so he sends one of his boys to find out who this woman is. And one of David's followers says, haven't you heard, isn't this Bathsheba? Meaning she was popular. This woman was so beautiful. And so when David saw her, he told his follower to go down and get her. Today's society, he would say, tell my friend to go get her number. So he sends for this woman, this beautiful woman that he sees from the rooftop of his beautiful palace. And as she comes to him, the Bible teaches us that he lays with her. And he finds out that she has a husband. And her husband is in his army. So David sends message to Joab and tells Joab to bring Uriah the Hittite from the army. David tells Uriah the Hittite to go down to his wife to wash his hands and his feet. In other words, to get clean. To get clean for your wife, and hopefully he will lay with her. But because Uriah the Hittite was such a faithful and devoted soldier, he did not go to the inside of his house and lay with his wife, but rather he stayed on the outside of the palace gate. And he stood his post with the other men. Faithful servant. And so after David finds out that Uriah has not gone home to lay with his wife, he sends word for Uriah the Hittite to come to his palace. David feeds him, gets him drunk. Hopefully, he will go now and sleep with his wife. But no, he did not. Uriah the Hittite goes and he sleeps again outside on his master's mat. And he does not go sleep with his wife. A faithful servant. After this, we see that Uriah the Hittite is sent back to the army, and David sends a special letter to him, to the commander Joab. The letter reads this: send this boy to the front line so he can get killed. That's in essence what the letter said. So Joab sends Uriah the Hittite to the front lines. The Bible teaches us that Uriah the Hittite is killed in battle. Word is sent back to David, and David is pleased. So David then takes Bathsheba to be his wife. The Bible teaches us that they have a son. They have a child. But in the last verse of this beautiful passage, the last verse of this passage of deceit, the Bible teaches us that the Lord is displeased by this. That God is displeased that one faithful servant would have the audacity not to fulfill his obligation to go to war, to take the wife of another faithful servant and to get that faithful servant killed because he is in a position to do so. And so the Bible tells us that this displeased God. And so God then sends the prophet Nathan, who was also David's good friend, to David to tell him a parable. And we see that the consequences of what happened come up in 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 11. Now, friends, before we get into this, I want to preface the rest of this sermon by saying that God always shows up. That God always shows up. That's something, friends, that you can take to the bank. Even if you don't feel God's presence in your life at this particular moment and time, I want to encourage you today that God always shows up. But in the moments that God does not seem like he is showing up when you need him to show up. The reason God may not show up when you really need him to show up is because maybe God is trying to teach you a lesson in that process of what you need God to show up to. You see, often we see teaching as discipline, and often we see teaching as an impetus or a means to do something wrong to us. Well, you're not doing something right, so I need to teach you a lesson. You've done something bad, so I need to teach you a lesson. And many times when we're being taught something, it feels as if the person doing the teaching does not love us. But what God is saying to us and understanding when God does not show up is that when God is teaching us a lesson, he's teaching us a lesson because he does love us. He's teaching you a lesson through this situation that you cannot fathom in your mind, because he wants you to leave the lesson with something very pertinent, something very important, something that you can take throughout the remainder of your life, so that if in fact you encounter a situation like this one or a different situation, you will be able to trust him and stand. And so God says, I need to teach you a lesson, and when I show up, you will learn or have learned the lesson that I want you to learn. And so we see the consequences of David's actions come up in 2 Samuel chapter 12. Verse 11 tells us, this is what the Lord says. Out of your household, out of your own household, I am going to bring calamity upon you. This is what God is saying to David. Before your very eyes, I will take your wives and give them to one who is close to you, my Lord. And he will lie with your wives in broad daylight. You see, you did it in secret, but I will do this thing in broad daylight before all of Israel. Verse 13 tells us, then David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. In other words, David said, I'm guilty. Nathan replied, the Lord has taken away your sin. You are not going to die. Verse 14, but because by doing this, you have made the enemies of the Lord so utter contempt, the son born to you will die. There's a lot going on in this passage. David says to God, I've sinned, I've messed up, I've done wrong. Lord, I'm guilty. And so by him telling God his sin, by him confessing to God his sin, the Lord says, you won't die. But rather, the son that is born to you in Bathsheba will die. In other words, David cries out to God. But God still brings discipline on David. And so we see the child get sick. The Bible tells us the child dies. But watch what happens when the child gets sick. Here's David's reaction. Verse 16 tells us that David pleaded with God for the child. He fasted and went into his house and spent nights lying on the ground. David is completely distraught right now. You see, friends, he's understood what has happened. He knows that he has sinned against God. He knows that what he has done is wrong. And so because he finds out that God will take away his son, David says, you know what, just maybe, if I cry out to God enough, if I get on my face and lie on the ground and plead with God, if I tell God I'm sorry time and time again, if I get and do the rituals that I'm supposed to do in the temple, if I submit myself to God and say that I'm sorry, then maybe God will let the child live. Maybe he'll let the child live. The child dies. The child dies. The child dies. God didn't show up. God did not show up in this instance, in this moment, that David needed God to show up. And the child dies. Friends, the question on the floor this morning is, what do you do when it seems like God has not showed up? What in your individual life do you do when it seems as if God has not shown up? Well, I believe verse 20 singularly gives us this answer through the life of David as what we should do when it seems as if God has not shown up. The first thing that we have to do when it seems as if God has not shown up is that we need to get up. It's that we need to get up. The Bible tells us that David got up from the ground. Verse 16 told us that David got on the ground and he cried out to God. David was mourning because his son was sick. As anyone would mourn if a child got sick, you want the child to be healed. As anyone would mourn if your relative or your loved one is in the hospital and you know that they are facing death, you would mourn. You would cry out for them. David was doing the same thing. But verse 20 says, after he found out that his child had died, he got up. Meaning he was no longer mourning. And though he may have felt the hardship of what it had meant to lose a child, David understood that God was a just God. You see, David understood that God would not just kill someone because David had stayed faithful. David was a faithful servant. And that God would not have just taken his son if he would not have had a meaning to do so. And David understood that it was by his own sin that God took his son. And so as David had confessed that sin to God, and his son died, David, although he may still be mourning, he gets up from the ground. You see, friends, if you are going to worship God, if you are going to truly praise God in the splendor and the majesty that is God, when things come up in your life and it seems as if God has not shown up when you need God to show up, at what time, at what place, and in what circumstance, David says here that we need to get up. You need to get off the ground. You need to get out of the state and the condition and the situation that you're in. Because if David would have stayed on the ground, he could not have given his praise, honor, and adoration to God. In other words, he could not have been thankful and joyful for the blessing that was to follow the grievance. He could not have been thankful for it. Because he would have continued to be in that same state. Friends, if we're going to worship God truly, even when we don't see, it doesn't seem as if God has shown up, we got to get up. We've got to get up. The second thing we have to do is we have to worship. The Bible tells us in the second part of verse 20 that after he had washed, after he got up from the ground, after he had washed, he put on lotion and changed his clothes. And watch this. He went into the house of the Lord and worshiped. This is crazy. Watch what, look at what he does. The man's son has just died. The Bible tells us that he was in deep mourning. Anytime you read in the Bible that somebody falls on their face, and when they are lying on the ground, what that signifies is that they are in deep mourning over something. And so the Bible tells us that David got up, put some lotion on his hand. He got clean again. He put on his priestly and kingly robes, and he went into the temple, and he worshiped God. What will it look like, and what does it look like after something significant has happened in your own life, that the people around you, after they know you have gone through trial and test and tribulation, and they don't even know how in the world you're standing, they don't even know how in the world you're making it day by day, they don't even know how you're able to get out of the bed in the morning. But as a true believer in Jesus Christ, you show them that even though it seems that God has not shown up in that particular situation, that you got up from the ground, that you're no longer in mourning and sadness, or rather, you're no longer letting your mourning and sadness affect you, but that you begin to worship God. What does that look like? What an example that is. For when people see Christians, they see us, though things come, because things will come, and though things come, we are able to still worship God. Ms. Peggy, what I believe that signifies is that we trust God, is that we honor God in spite of what we were talking about in Sunday school this morning, is that many times as Christians, we will worship God when God is doing all this great stuff for us. When we're blessed, when we're better than blessed, when we're blessed and highly favored, when we're rolling in the nice vehicles, when we're wearing the finest of clothes, when our bank accounts are packed so that we can give more money to the church, or when we can loan someone something that they need, when we serve, when all these things are great and are going on, we can praise God. Because in those moments, it seems as if God is with us. But the true, I believe, test of a Christian is that you can praise God when it seems like God is nowhere to be found. It's when you can worship in spite of. Number three, the third thing that we must do when it seems that God has not shown up is that we have to trust God. We must trust. Thirdly, it says, God gave David another son, Solomon. To read this beautiful story, you know, David's son had been taken from him. He was in mourning. He gets up, goes to the temple to worship. Bathsheba then goes back to David's house. Although she has mourned the loss of her husband, she still commits herself to be David's wife. And God, when he sees David's trust in him, he gives them another son. And many of you all know the story of Solomon. How Solomon became one of the greatest kings that Israel had ever seen. It says something about a Christian that we can trust God. That we can trust God when things seem as if they will not get any better. And when it seems as if we are on our last dime or on our last leg, that our complete and total trust in God steps in. So we trust God. And finally, if we are to, or what we do when it seems as if God is not with us, we get back on course. You get back on course. Verse 29 says, so David mustered the entire army, and he went to Raba, and he attacked, and he captured it. All these things have happened in David's life. He has gone through trial. He has sinned against God. Son has been taken away from him. He has another son. He trusts God. And finally, David, after realizing what he has done, he gets back on his course. Friends, often when we sin against God and we do things and things happen to us in your everyday existence that challenge your faith, many times what that does is that throws us and that sifts us off of our course. And whereas once we were serving God and we were praising God and we were attending church and we were worshiping and we were serving and we were doing all of the things that are expected of us as Christians, when those adverse situations come, many times it takes us off of our course. And what David is saying here is that when those things happen and it does not seem that God is with us, not only do you get up, not only do you worship, not only do you trust, but you got to get back on your course. And you've got to get back to the place and to the course and on the foundations that God has placed you so that you can walk. Friends, I believe sometimes it takes God not showing up. Sometimes I believe it takes God not showing up in certain situations to keep us focused on our course. Because if God showed up every time you wanted God to show up, I think sometimes we can get spiritually spoiled. And once we get spiritually spoiled, we only love and honor and serve and praise and worship God on the basis for what he can do for us, based on his actions rather than his attributes. Yes. And God is saying, if you're going to love me, if you're going to serve me, if you're going to be true and devoted Christians, you have got to love me based on my attributes rather than my actions. Based on how just I am, based on how loving I am, based on how kind and compassionate and sincere I am, not just about how much money I can give you, not just how I can bless you, not just how I can heal you, but for who I am. That is why you worship me. Friends, my encouragement to you today is to know that God always shows up. It's the thing about David, is that he did not distrust God. He did not get to a point where he distrusted God because he knew that God was a just God. He had experienced the justice of God. And so therefore, because he knew the justice of God, he can accept the discipline of God. Friends, when we get to a point in our everyday lives where we know that God cares about us more than anybody else, then what we are able to take from that is the good as well as bad. Yes. We are able to take the pretty as well as the ugly. Yes. Just ask Job. He lost everything. And Job literally cursed the day he was born. The Bible tells us at the end of Job, God restored him. Because God was faithful. So friends, my question to you is, where are you when God does not show up when you want it? What do you do when God does not show up when you want him to show up? Will you trust him? Will you get up? Will you stay on your course? And especially when you worship him. Yes. Will you worship him because God is a just God who cares about each and every one of you? And Father, how grateful we are this day for your love towards us. God, we honor you because you are amazing.